Well, it's so good to be in the Lord's house today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Colossians chapter 1. Jesus be. You know, he's all I need him to be. He's everything I need him to be. Sufficient. The all-sufficient one, more than enough. Colossians 1, verses 16 to 17, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, that is rulers, authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. You know, I think he can handle my world. I think he can handle my life. I believe he can, and I know he can. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 4 to 5, we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Here to lift him up today. Here to lift him high today. Jesus, soul safe in his hands. Heart safe in his hands. Life safe in his hands. My world, our world, anything and everything and anyone and everywhere, safe in the hands of Jesus. Hebrews 13:5, he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Amplified Bible, he has said, I will never, under any circumstances, desert you nor give you up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless, nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you, assuredly not. Receive the word of the Lord today. I remember as a young boy a frame which held a set of words, words that many will be familiar with. Their eyes too, having gazed upon such a sight. One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, my precious, precious child, I love you. I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. I can see it hanging still. Romans 8, verses 35 to 39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, I mean, it's quite the list today, or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are a Canada's sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. J.B. Phillips' New Testament reads, I have become absolutely convinced. Have you become absolutely convinced? Take heart today. Take heart in this today. You know, perhaps we need to hear these words as if for the very first time. And take delight in hearing them again and again. The message reads, none of this phases us because Jesus loves us. What rest to know that he loves us. What rest to know that he is with us and that he is for us. In times of strength, in times of less strength, and in times of weakness. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. And all that fear would be displaced at the center of lives today, that the truth of the living Word of God would so grip us that we would leave this place with unshakable faith and trust. Psalm 27, verses 1 to 3, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, to devour my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. An exuberant declaration of faith. You know, I'm confident today, and I trust you are, Philippians 1:6, being confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, I believe it, and I believe it with all my heart. In Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Your God shall supply all you need. All you need. According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And let us continue in this. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon the earth that I desire besides you. My heart and my flesh fail. But God is the strength. God is the rock. The strength of my heart and my portion forever. God and our Jesus. The strength of our hearts, our portion forever. Genesis 17, 1 and 2, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. People of God, these words are not archaic, and as those of the new covenant, as those to whom Jesus has appeared, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. El Shaddai, God. God is the all-sufficient one. He gives life. He nurtures. He pours out his blessings. The all-sufficiency. And the all-sufficiency of Jesus, the life he gives, how he nurtures, the blessings he pours out. You see, Jesus Christ fulfills and embodies El Shaddai completely. All the fullness of God's power dwells in him. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I mean, that should put peace into us, into our world, even as we live in a world of chaos. All authority. Hebrews 1:3, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged, that is cleansed, our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 1:17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Do you remember the day when these words became your own? He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me, his love. The day, the time, the moment, the place, the space where you with perfect assurance declared, I am my beloved's and he is mine. And for those who have yet to know such a day, this day is calling. I hear the cry of Apostle Paul's soul, 1 Corinthians 2:2. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Message paraphrase, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did. Paul needed Jesus. Paul wanted Jesus. More and more and more and more of Jesus. And isn't this a fitting cry for the Christian? A fitting cry from the Christian. Philippians 3:8. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as what? Count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. You know, Paul had a mission. Paul had a message. Ephesians 3:8-12, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship, that is the stewardship, the dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. All sufficient. The words of Charles Spurgeon. You will perceive that the Apostle Paul preached the unsearchable riches of Christ, not the dignity of manhood or the grandeur of human nature. He preached not man, but man's Redeemer. Let us do the same. Moreover, he did not preach up the clergy and the church, but Christ alone. Paul did not preach up the unsearchable riches of philosophy, as some do. Yes, some say we must please this thinking age, this thoughtful people. We must educate a people who will reject all testimony because they will not be credulous, or who will believe nothing but what they can understand, because forsooth their understanding is so amazingly clear, so perfect, so all but divine. Not so. The apostle, he would have said to these philosophical gentlemen, "Stand away, I have nothing at all that can make me kindred with you. I preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, not the uncertainties of philosophical speculation. I give the people something to believe, something tangible to lay hold of, not superstitious. It is true, but divinely accredited, not concocted by the wisdom of man, but revealed by the wisdom of God." My dear friends, we must come back to the gospel of Paul, and may God bring all his ministering servants more and more clearly back to it, that we have nothing to preach, that we may have nothing to preach but that which clusters around the cross, which glows and glistens like a sacred halo of light around the head of the crucified one, that we may lift up nothing but Jesus and say, "God forbid that we should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, take us back." The Apostle Paul was on bended knee. Ephesians 3:14 to 21, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might," receive it today, "through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." You know, the message is Jesus. The good news is Jesus. Keep preaching Jesus. Just like Philip, Acts 8:5-8, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Jesus. The name Jesus. Philippians 2:9, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name, beyond, more than, the authority, the power, the beauty, the majesty of the name Jesus. Name whomever, name whatever, the name of Jesus is greater. The name of Jesus is infinitely greater." Philip's New Testament, God has now lifted him so high and has given him the name beyond all names. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus? the all-sufficient one. Do you know him? You know, he's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the King of righteousness, the King of glory. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. And now lines from the stirring declaration of Lockridge. He's enduringly strong, entirely sincere, eternally steadfast, immortally graceful, imperially powerful, impartially merciful. That's my King. He's God's Son. He's the sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine in true theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. That's my King. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleansed the lepers. He forgives sinners. He cleansed. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. Oh, he rewards the diligent and he beautifies the meek. My King is the key of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. And he's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the majesty of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislatures. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the King of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. Shall I continue today? His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invisible. He's irresistible. I'm trying to tell you, the heaven of heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind and you can't get him off your hands. You can't outlive him and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree, and Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my King. He always has been, and he always will be. What I'm talking about is that he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. Praise the Lord. That's my King. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. And when you get through all the forevers, then amen. You know, somebody's got to give him glory today. Our all-sufficient one, we're talking about Jesus. We're in his house. We're in his presence. I have decided, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. God's Son who loved me and gave himself for me. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. If no one joins me, still I will follow. If none go with me, still I will follow. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. This thing I know, John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. You know, I know that without him I could do nothing. I will not add to this. This is my reality, accepted and chosen. Colossians 2:9-10, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead that is in bodily form. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. The message reads, everything of God gets exposed in him so you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. I am fully persuaded. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus be. Things I know he is. The things I pray he be. Concerning my life, my family, for this people, for this congregation, generation and generations, for those that are his. Here's my list today. Jesus be a forerunner. Ah, he is. Hebrews 6:19-20. This hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. You know, if we could only grasp the full scope of the implication this day, the NIV, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Anchored. Firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, king of righteousness, our high priest. He's entered into the heavenly sanctuary where he continually intercedes on our behalf. How many know the feeling that someone is praying for you, that someone is interceding on your behalf? A human, a mortal, a Christian, yes. But imagine, and this is anything but imaginary, our Jesus, our high priest, our king of righteousness, has entered into the heavenly sanctuary where he continually intercedes on our behalf. Perhaps you came in here today not thinking you're worth much. Think again. You came in here today thinking no one really cares. Think again. You came in here today thinking no one bothers interceding for you. Cast out the lie. Jesus Christ, your King of righteousness, is interceding on your behalf. You know, I can only imagine what he's praying. His prayers always hit the mark. Jesus, be a front runner. Follow me. Follow me and I will make you become, Matthew 16:24-25. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, Paul was in, and Paul was calling others to the same. 1 Corinthians 11:1, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. People of God, and those that do not yet know Jesus, there is no better life. There is no better way. There is simply no better way to spend our days. Jesus, be a friend. John 15:13-15. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend. You need a friend today. There is a friend that sticks closer, who sticks closer than a brother. The words of George Mueller, the precious Lord Jesus Christ is our friend. Oh, let us seek to realize this. It is not merely a religious phrase or statement, but truly he is our friend. He is the brother born for adversity, the one who sticks closer than a brother, who will never leave and never forsake us. And these beautiful words, Christ is our best friend, and ere long to be our only friend. Ere long will be our only friend. And I pray, God, with all my heart that I may be weary of everything else but converse and communion with him. You know, our responsibility, our opportunity, our privilege, like Abraham. We read these words, James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted, literally credited, good credit. Got credit? Accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And is it not our great desire to reciprocate friendship in like manner? We must continue with the words of George Mueller today. When we cannot sleep at night, say to Christ, my precious heavenly friend, wilt thou give me a little sleep? When in pain, say, my precious heavenly friend, if it may please thee, wilt thou take away this pain? But if not, if thou seest better that it should continue, sustain, help, and strengthen me, my precious heavenly friend. When we feel lonely and tired, turn to the precious Lord Jesus. He is willing to be our friend in our loneliness. For 62 years and 5 months, I had a beloved wife, and now in my 92nd year, I am left alone. But I turn to my precious Lord Jesus as I walk up and down in my room and say, my precious Lord Jesus, I am alone and yet not alone. Thou art with me. Thou art my friend. Now, Lord, comfort me and strengthen me. Give to thy poor servant everything thou sees he needs. Church, he's so ready. He's ready hour by hour to be our friend. Walk with him and talk with him. You say, you're crazy. I can't walk around talking to Jesus. People are going to think I'm nuts. People are going to think I'm crazy or talking to self or to the imaginary. Listen, the whole world's doing it. Stick a piece of plastic in your ear if it'll help you and get on with it. And soon your ear will bud. Oswald Chambers, the dearest friend on earth is a mere shadow compared to Jesus Christ. Well, I'm running out of time today. Jesus, be a fence. Jesus, be a fence. Job 1:9-10, Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, protection, protected him, around his household and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Psalm 91:2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. I know the context of the following words, and yet in the positive, the Lord no doubt can do the same. Lamentations 3:7, He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. The CEV, God built a fence around me that I cannot climb over. Isaiah 52:12, for you shall not go out with haste, nor by flight, for the Lord will go before you. Wow, and the Lord God of Israel will be your rear guard. Isaiah 58:8, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Psalm 139, verse 5, you have hedged that is enclosed me behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. The expanded Bible, you are all around me. Hem me in. The message, I look behind me and you're there, then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. You know, I remember the exact seat in the exact auditorium in a particular service when I heard for the very first time the words of a gospel song, and I've been singing it ever since. Jesus be a fence all around me every day. Jesus, I want you to protect me as I travel along the way. I know you can, yes, Lord. I know you will, yes, Lord. Fight my battle if I keep still. Lord, be a fence all around me every day. This is my prayer, Lord, that I pray each and every day, that you would guide my footsteps lest I stumble and stray. Lord, I need you to direct me. All the way long, oh Lord, be a fence all around me every day. Sometimes the way gets so rough and the nights are so long. In my hour of weakness, that old enemy tries to steal my soul. But when he comes like a flood to surround me, my God will step in and a standard he'll raise. Oh Lord, be a fence all around me every day. Jesus, be a fence, because I need protection along the way. Protection, strong tower, my family along the way, my children, my brother, my sister, my father, my mother along the way. Lord, be a fence all around me every day. And you know, I can testify that he has been. He's been just that for me and for my family and for my children. I think of the times, so many times, every morning now, went off. Or dropped off at school, Jesus be a fence. Jesus be a fence. A son was going to go with some friends recently in a vehicle, and for whatever reason decided against it. And there was a serious accident. And although not pleasant for those involved, Jesus be a fence. Jesus be a fragrance. Can't you hear the song of Shulamite? Song of Solomon 1, 2 to 3, for your love is better than wine. Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is an ointment poured forth. Yes, people of God, he is honey to the mouth, music to the ear, and heaven to the heart. And now this, 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 17, now thanks be to God who always leads. Always leads us in triumph in Christ. He's saying, are you sure? That's what the word says. Always leads us in triumph. Triumph in Christ, and through us, this is so beautiful, diffuses, that is, manifests the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ. I know of some very costly fragrances in the world, but none like this. The fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, as so many peddling the word of God, but as those sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. You know, there are a lot of fragrances in the world, many aromas in this world. Imagine, people of God, imagine church, if everywhere we go, everywhere we are, the fragrance of the rose of Sharon, The lily of the valley was filling the air, the fragrance of Christ in this world. This is a desperate need. The desperate need. Lord, let it be discernible. I can't continue with the other scriptures under this point. Now, setting aside the A for the, Jesus be the focus. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author, originator, and the perfecter, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Let's lay aside what needs to be laid aside. Let's run with endurance. Let's look to Jesus. Jesus be the fire. Not a fire, the fire. The fire in our hearts. The fire in our souls. The inferno in our spirits. Hebrews 12, 28 to 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. The words of Tommy Tenney, he said, fire doesn't fall on empty altars. There has to be a sacrifice on the altar for the fire to fall. If you want to be the fire of God, you must become the fuel of God. Jesus be the fervor. Not so different. Our passion for Jesus and the passion of our Jesus within us and on us and through us. Words like, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, or not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Jesus be the foundation. Let's have the worship team return today. Jesus be the foundation. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 13, according to the grace of God which is given to me, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Matthew 7, 24 to 27, therefore, whomever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. A home, a house, a household, a habitation, a dwelling. Those of the home, property, wealth, goods, residence, abstractly but usually concretely in abode, literally or figuratively. Oh, that everything would be built on the rock, that everything would be founded and built on the rock, founded and built on Jesus Christ, taking hold of his sayings and applying his sayings, running with them and building with them and constructing with them and in accordance with them. This is wise. This is wisdom. Jesus is the antidote. Death's antidote. And so too life's. He is the answer. He is the answer we all need. Death's antidote, and so too life's. Hear these beautiful words. If you receive Jesus in your heart, he will be death's best antidote. When your disembodied spirit quits this poor clay carcass, as it must, What will your silver and gold do for you then? What will your farms and your broad acres do for you then? You must leave them all behind. You got to leave it behind. Even if men buy you a coffin of gold or bury you in a sarcophagus of marble, yet of what avail will that be? But oh, if you have Christ, you can fly up to heaven to your treasure, and there you shall be rich to all the intents of blissful world without end. Colossians 1, 27 to 29. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which, or who is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. I want to ask you today, is Christ in you? For many, the answer is yes. Is Christ in you? You know, he can be, and he wants to be. It can happen right now. The beginning, the genesis of all things beautiful, death to life. Further words, Paul had no stinted Savior to present to a few, no narrow-hearted Christ to be the head of a clique, no weak Redeemer who could pardon only those little offenders who scarcely needed it, but he preached a great Savior to the great masses, a great Savior to great sinners. He preached the conqueror with dyed garments, traveling in the greatness of his strength, whose name is mighty to save. Jesus. The gospel. The gospel of Jesus. The good news. This he not need be, for this he is. School assist, eh? Think not that the gospel of Christ, because it is simple, is therefore mere child's play. Oh, no. It has that in it which an angel's intellect, unilluminated by the Holy Spirit, might fail to master. The highest ranks of seraphim, still lost in wonder, gaze upon it. Come to my master, and you shall be made wise unto salvation. Let me not weary you with so great a message. Perhaps I tell it badly, but the matter of it is worthy of your hearing and worthy of your hearts. My master has riches of happiness to bestow upon you. After all, he is the rich man who wears heart's ease in his buttonhole. The man who can say, I have enough, is richer than the peer of the realm who is discontented. Believe me, my Lord can make you to lie down in green pastures, and he can lead you beside still waters. There is no music like the music of his pipe. When he is the shepherd and you are the sheep and you lie down at his feet, there is no love like his. Neither earth or heaven can match it. If you only knew it, if you only knew it, you would prize it beyond all mortal joys. Do you know him? Our all-sufficient one, Jesus be. Come on, make your own list. Jesus be. Jesus, you are. Jesus, be my forerunner. Jesus, be my friend. Jesus, be a fence. Some mother's going to take that up. Some father. Jesus, be a fence around my family.